We have our guest online. Ann Clark Skuse is the manager over at Seven Saints, a neighbor and good friend of WEFT. Welcome to the program, Ann.
Thank you so much, Vicki. It's really my pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to chat with you and Mark today.
So tell us a little bit about you first. And we had a long conversation at WEFT Fest back in October about your involvement with the music community here at the university and in town. Talk a little bit about your background there.
Sure, my pleasure. I am from Miami, Florida, and became involved in music at a pretty young age and was fortunate enough to be involved in the Magnet School public program in Miami-Dade County. I graduated from New World School of the Arts, and that time through high school studied music in addition to academic courses, of course, but had a pretty rigorous schedule in the performing arts, from classical music performance to music theory and history. And at the time, a professor from Indiana University was a visiting professor at New World and gave private cello lessons. So when it came time for me to choose where I would be headed to continue to pursue my performance degree in cello, it was a pretty easy choice. We had a great rapport, and I always found his pedagogical method to be one of great value to my development. So and that's how I ended up in the Midwest at Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. I played cello and achieved my bachelor's degree with a side degree in business as well. And after completing my bachelor's degree, took a couple years off performing in an orchestra in Southwest Florida, and kind of reevaluated my interests in music. I had always been interested in performing as a primary goal, but really was driven by the connection that I developed with my peers and professors in understanding how music brought us together. And with that, I took some time to reflect and stayed in touch with my professors from Indiana University, and found that maybe a better option would be to consider studying music in a more academic route. And so that's how I found the amazing program at University of Illinois right here in Urbana-Champaign. Champaign-Urbana, depends who you ask. Jeffrey McGee, who was a professor at Indiana, mentioned that he was coming on faculty at Illinois, and that the program here in musicology is quite distinctive because it keeps historical musicology and ethnomusicology within the same department. In some universities, ethnomusicology is considered more along the anthropological or and is and as such they it's grouped in like folklore department and kind of separated from the music component. I can't say, if I have any perspective on which is a better route for students faculty for that matter. But it was extremely helpful for me as a person who had a classical Western music background to start to have the opportunity to explore ethnomusicology. And that's really where I found my greatest interest in studying music was in studying people. And that music was really the tool through which people could I could understand how people could be connected, and in my studies started to see what how cultural values really shape the way people appreciated music, and how their cultural values, of course, reflected so many parts of their lives, but that music as a non-linguistic form of communication, as a non-linguistic form of connection, brought people together in a way that transcended our day-to-day lives. And so getting to study here with, amazing professors like Tom Torino, like Gabriel Solis, like Jeff and Gail McGee, really gave me the opportunity to understand not only why and what I loved about music, but how it really shaped my world in the day to day, because it asked me to consider, you know, what is it about people that we want to, you know, that what is it about people that we always seek a way to feel connected, and that sometimes just talking about it isn't enough. So in other culture practices, things like, you know, we see food or dance or, you know, the visual arts are ways that people can express themselves or ways that people can connect and bond and share their world in a way that isn't restricted by our day-to-day formal language. And so that's kind of where my journey in school and university ended. As I was completing my doctoral coursework, I was also bartending at Seven Saints. And I was very fortunate to work for a person who shared the same interests in reflecting culturally what it means to be part of this community. So the former GM, Andy Borbley, was of like minds that, you know, sharing connectedness with people in the hospitality industry was not limited to just serving them what they order, but that people sought out a way to share experiences together. And so it really meshed well with my academic background and my interest in music in particular, but also was a great way to translate my, you know, interest and skill in the hospitality industry. And so when Andy resigned as GM and the position was open and offered to me, it was at a good point where my academic coursework was completed and I was kind of at the end of my track for going on into scholarship. So that's what got me in the seat that I am in today, and why it's seemingly not so related, but in my personal life, quite related after all.
It makes complete sense to me, because I mean, certainly you and Seven Saints have been a very good neighbor to WEFT, and we've appreciated all of the help you've given us over the years, hosting our WEFT Fest on your patio and all the great music acts that have come to visit. We had a nice long conversation when Ralph White was there playing with Tom Torino and his wife. That was so much fun. Unfortunately, the rain stopped it too early, but so, you have a lot going on music-wise at Seven Saints over the course of the year. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. Well, as everyone can now see, it's somewhat out of selfish reasons that I I find opportunities to book as many types of music as we can. And I mean, it's such a pleasure to be able to work with our neighbors, WEFT, and help support their annual fall drive. You know, the importance of keeping community radio available is something that is so dear to me. You know, local musicians and the people who are supporting music in our community, it's not an easy task. And so getting to work with an established radio group like WEFT is really a pleasure. And I think, you know, again, I think my people couldn't really understand why something like having the gamelan play at one of the annual events was so significant to me, but it really represented what was so important to me overall, and that is sharing music together really brings us together. So at Seven Saints, we've had bands as big as, you know, our local darlings Elsinore, and now Ryan Groff's current project, Modern Drugs, also graced the stage. We've had bands visit from, you know, Chicago and St. Louis to be able to share their talents with us. In the past year, we've really cultivated a strong relationship with the U of I Jazz program with the support of Chip McNeil. We've hosted the fall semester university performers in the jazz program, and we have In Residence Combo playing almost every Thursday as well. So it's, you know, we're leaning towards having performances that are more regularly available to our guests without a cover, but also when the weather is lovely and we can enjoy time in the beer garden through the summer. It's really nice to bring in some bigger groups from a broader scope and get that get a greater crowd to come in. So that's been really fun. It's also been a few of my favorite performances are not even haven't even been music per se, but like the Carnaval de Bausch has been such a wonderful with, and we've done their annual show each summer. And that's been a really fun time too. They bring a really fun crowd.
Well, Anne, speaking of live events, you have something special going this New Year's Eve, but as I understand it, you are sold out. Is that correct?
That's right, Mark. We are sold out. I even extended our seats a little bit this past week, and within the hour, it's sold out again. So I'm very grateful that we have such great support from our community. You know, New Year's Eve is a tricky event to host because it's so much later in the evening. But I'm really excited for this event. We had a lot of support and success last year. And the jazz combos that have already graced our stage now through the year, I think are much more familiar with the space. And I think our guests in general are more familiar with like feeling that vibe at Seven Saints. We have a great menu available, but what's really exciting about it to me is that, you know, we're all kind of moving into a space where we want to celebrate together. And I'm so glad that we'll have a full house for that. We will have walk-in dining available in the main room, of course. So, you know, I hope guests aren't swayed from stopping by to celebrate ringing in the new year, but the private event is sold out for this Saturday night.
Okay.
And where can people find information about the events that you have upcoming? I know that you have specials that you advertise and so forth. What's the best venue for that?
Yes, thank you for that question, Vicki. I think about this a lot myself, actually. What is the best venue? We really strayed away from print media and rely very much on social media as our primary outlet for getting information for these events. Facebook would be our primary source for information, but I also am consistent with providing that information on Instagram. But I would say those two platforms will have the most up-to-date information about any specials, events, or even just things we want to share with our community and the wonderful to support us through the year.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this interview this morning. I know you're a busy woman, so we appreciate you giving us some time. Anne Clark Skews, who is the general manager of Seven Saints right next door to WEFT. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Anne.
My pleasure. You all have a happy new year. Thank you, Mark and Vicki.
Okay.
I just stopped the recording, I think.
All right. We can go back to video now.
Now we can go back to for a moment.
Yeah.
I think that there was a little glitchy part that went silent there for a bit at the very beginning, but I think I can edit that out without a problem, and it shouldn't, you know, we'll just explain before we play this tomorrow morning that it was recorded on Zoom, which is not as good as, you know, over the air, but whatever way we can get you is absolutely fine with me. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Well, that was, you know, Anne, I have to say that was very interesting. That so
I appreciate.
I do have to ask you now.
That.
Oh, sorry. Say that again.
Now we've got the pictures back. We can't hear you anymore.
I know. Frozen.
Yeah, there she's just turned to pick.
My pleasure.
You're cutting in and out, Anne. I wonder if she's...
Yeah, I'll turn mine off too.
Oh, I was just saying, yes, please go ahead. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm glad we recorded when we did.
Yes.
Yeah. Mark, yes, I'd love to answer any